complaining about my nose, are you?
It's there.
I saw you do a double take, that's why. If I could see it, it'd be helpful. There it is.
Higher.
Don't say a word.
Before you start, just remember, all of us can read. So you don't have to be the one to read.
I was wondering when you're going to take the next step there.
Yeah. It's predictable.
I want to hear the cockeyed albums.
Now, see, I don't expect that from you.
When the sky is a bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen.
I like
Is that really a song like
that? Yeah. Self-sipping.
Or how we like to call it self-sipping.
Cockeyed optimist?
Oh, God.
It's a Christian song.
There's a small skit coming on.
Don't tell Judy.
One of those army creeping songs.
Go to John.
John.
Maybe 11.
John 1.
Don't touch.
John 1. You can't believe how badly that itch is up there. Yesterday was, if you heard, I hope you heard, the idea that the entire world is the mercy seat if you see correctly. Remember that we studied in Titus, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. And the whole process of the renewal of our minds, that has to be the end result, so that there is no thing that can happen and there is no place where you don't see yourself on the mercy seat. And that means, by definition, you are always and ever continuing with him in his test. There is never anything going on with you. It's impossible for something to be going on with you, because you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You can't deal with anything. There's no issues you have to take care of. It's always and ever continuing with him in his temptation. Now, if you don't, if you get a cause and you got an issue and you got an agenda, then, you know, then you're back to carnality, which can't, and it just takes you all the way back down to the beginning. And that's what, with Harry, you know, I know Harry pretty well, and I don't think he could have handled what's going on with him right now had he not been able to see that, because he always had something to do. You know, what we used to do, if you remember, he would make these to-do lists, and then he'd get so uptight because he owed him, he had a debt to those to-do lists. And so I asked him to to bring those that the to-do list down to me, and we'd sit and go through them. And we threw away 52 of his to-do lists. But he on his to-do list, he had brush his teeth. I mean, the simple things that are done, you know, just by instinct. But, you know, it's that whole process of seeing the futility of agendas and to-dos, and it sounds irresponsible. It sounds irresponsible to my mind that you would just simply believe. That's all. But that's the only way to be in this glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, and everybody can come up with something, well, I've got to do this or I've got to do that. But you've missed the point of it. Anybody have any response?
He had brush his teeth on that list.
I've got to step back one place on the mercy seat. It's like we are in him in the mercy seat. And I'm thinking, if I think I'm on the mercy seat, apart from him, I'm fooling myself. I'm trying to make it work. And I can't, and it doesn't work. But when I put him on the mercy seat and me in him, then I'm in total peace. And I have no fear. Because of my confidence is in what he's completed, not my strength to maintain a position that my mind would try and hold.
Amen. No, I mean, it's like people use scripture as a mantra, or in even in the name of Jesus, and it's just sorcery.
Yeah.
You know, we spent a great deal of time many years ago about I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I. And so we had people running around, all they do is, I am crucified with Christ. You know, that's what they did in their minds. Well, they're trying to accomplish something by sorcery. It's the same as, you know, it's just not going to happen. It's either you're either in the pool or you're out of the pool. What?
Ronnie's here.
Oh. Has Ronnie ever been in time?
Who cares? He's here.
This is all time.
All right, John 1. Yeah, Ronnie's on time. On Ronnie time. No, you're fine. You're Ronnie time.
Living in the wrong time.
Everybody at John 1?
First.
One. Okay, somebody else read.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Okay, stop. Again, we have this, his light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, it says, to them that received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. And the word receive is this Greek word lambo, and it means to take hold of. It doesn't mean like you... It's hard to describe in English, but it's like... If you have good eye-hand coordination, then you can be a good pitcher, like a baseball pitcher. But if you grow 6 inches, and then your pitching ability goes to hell because you lose your eye-hand coordination. But That's a, forget that. That's an aside.
Is that what happened to you?
Yeah. It happened to me, too. The only eye-hand coordination that I retained after I grew all that was playing pool.
And poker.
And poker doesn't require eye-hand coordination. Huh?
He's a pool shark.
Let's go play pool. I'll bet you.
Well, well that's, I don't care. You can bet me anything you want.
Oh, here we go. Game on. You play me anything you want. We got eye-hand coordination for everything. Except baseball.
I got money on me.
All right.
Yeah, I played now.
Okay, ready.
To them that received it, it means you lay hold of that which is there. It's not like you're getting something from someplace else. But this scripture is where people get, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, you know, I suppose you could say, and yeah, that's all right, I don't care. But it misses the point that he's already there. If the gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven, then when anyone, anywhere, comes to the end of themselves, there he is. Otherwise, you're just putting Jesus' name on top of your identity, which is what happens in the world, in the world system of Christianity. And so the whole point is you have already been apprehended, but you don't know it. Everything that's done is, there can nothing be done in the universe that isn't in the perfect will of God, except your mind. Now, so I just wanted to see the universality of this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. Da-de-da-de-da. So let's go to Colossians and see it another way.
I was just thinking about this. This is where the contrast comes in. The four spiritual laws were developed so that you can do something to declare then that you...
Oh, wait a minute. Stay in John. That reminded me of something else.
John what?
Same one, where we just were.
But are we still going to Colossians?
Later. No wonder. I did it, Ronnie. I was in Little John. And it didn't make sense. Alright. Verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But once we have you making a decision for Christ, then you're born of the will of man, and the best you can be is in Babylon. You will spend your life trying to act like you believe and using every means possible to do it. I mean, this is really, really important.
This is, yeah. It changes everything.
Well, it solidifies the idea that there were no sacred houses or no higher levels of, you know, that everyone, there was an equality amongst the body, because God was already at the bottom of it all. It was God that. And it does remain, and that all we are to each other, one another, are witnesses to that.
Right. Okay, now go to Colossians. And remember, the predicate for all this...
He was waiting.
You trying to get a brownie point for being 10 minutes late?
I'm trying to get a Ronnie point.
Being a Ronnie point, yeah.
Make up for it, you know?
Seriously, at least he showed up.
Colossians 1. Gary, would you read starting just starting in verse 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Okay. The translated is the same word. That's transfigured. And it's in the past tense. We've already been transfigured. We've already been translated into the kingdom of it's the kingdom of his dear Son. It's awkward in Greek, but it says in the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so that's a huge, I mean, that's the only way you can understand and enter into the rest and see that Jesus himself is the Sabbath day is by saying that it's already happened. You understand that? Otherwise, you can't get there from here. Otherwise, this is why I keep talking about the midnight hour. That's where you're plagued, because that when you know, your mind is going in 60,000 different directions that have no bearing, no meaning, no anything. It's just empty, vain crap. Whether it's positive or negative, it doesn't matter. It's still self-realization. Self-unrealization is self-realization. I mean, do you understand? I mean, if you are the subject, it's self-realization. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. And all this stuff that's going on in the modern church about, you know, enhancing your identity and living your full potential, and that's just heresy of the worst order. Because, again, you don't see that it's already happened. That's what he did. He perfected you by one offering. What are you doing? Are you trying to improve on perfection? All right. Keep going. In verse 14 now.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell.
Okay, you notice how many alls there? Okay, now watch. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime or beforehand alienated and enemies in your mind by the mind's wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Past tense, reconciled. So the only enemy in the kingdom of God, in the universe, is your mind. But it's not even it's too doing the perfect will of God. It's the opposer to the mystery. And that's what tests it. That's what Amen. That you be not conformed to this world, but be translated, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test. That's what that means. Whatsoever, what is that perfect and acceptable will of God? So it's all about that which is already finished, but for some reason, this mystery of again, he doesn't want to create more angels. Angels can, you know, do anything you can conceive of better than you, except have fellowship with the Father, because they obey instead of doing what the Father wants without him saying anything. You understand that? That's why children are boring. These little dorks that, you know, their parents dress them up and they act like they're little men with briefcases. And I just, I've written about this one dork in there. I mean, he was just a blithering idiot. And then he began a pattern of lies to try to gain some acceptance. Mostly it was lies to self. Anybody know about that?
Yeah.
All right. So by him, all things were created. Please the Father in him that the fullness, all fullness should dwell. He created everything. Everything exists for him and by him. And now let's go to Romans 8. Ronnie,
sure.
You're not a well person.
It's got manners.
I know, that's how I go to the doctor.
I go to the doctor. That was fantastic.
I'm going to read it because I already know it by heart, but I'm going to read it, and I want you to see how everything is in the past tense here. Okay? And verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, past tense, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All past tense. It's already been done. There is nothing, are you starting to see there's nothing left for you to do except be? Without Satan's half second. Without this idea, you know, that you gotta let it gel for a minute and then boom. No, it's boom. And again, remember the word Yesh, Jesus' first name, Yeshua, Yesh. Yesh is the dam breaking. That's what the word means. And everything flows out. But you spent a lifetime with the dam. There's dead elephants and rats and all the people you've murdered and everything else in the back of that dam. And so you're afraid to be vulnerable because being vulnerable, and I love it when people tell me, well, that's just the kind of person I am, Ole. No, you're not. You were taught. You didn't have to. When you were, before your self-awareness, if you felt something, you did. Whatever, if you're hungry, you cry, or you made some noise, you certainly never sat and thought about anything. Because you didn't have the capacity for self-awareness. That's the position that we must return to. You don't sit in judgment, do you? You just be. And I promise you, if you just be, there will be a dialogue and not a monologue. Kayla. All right. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The only thing that can be against you is your mind. That's why I've said from the beginning, that your mind and your emotions have not once in your entire life been your friend.
So now here's my next question. In how many... How come... Shit. I'm trying to. So being exhorted every day about this, because I know this, it's frustrating to be tested every day, but is there ever going to be a point where I don't have to be reminded every day of this, that I'm in a test, and that it's all happened before?
Nobody can answer that.
It takes a while to be toilet trained.
No, it takes a while for all the crap to come out from behind the dam. But if you continue damming it up, then it's just going to build more crap in the dam.
Right, my question is, when will you learn how to stop damming?
When you trust. Remember the two witnesses? Let me go here. There are two witnesses. The only two in the book of Revelation. They're standing in Jerusalem and screaming and yelling and hollering at you. The only two people that never died, that's what those two witnesses were Enoch and Elijah. Both of them were translated. And Enoch is wisdom, and Elijah is prophecy. So you can't have just one rise up. There's two witnesses. If you just have prophecy, then you just are a babbling fool. But when wisdom and prophecy arise and stand in the temple in you, then it's not your business anymore. If wisdom is fundamentally timing.
Ironically enough.
Do you understand what I'm saying about these two witnesses? So you can't have just Enoch there without Elijah, because then you're just sitting back in judgment on everybody, saying what other people should be doing. So you have to have wisdom, and that's why they are both there simultaneously, wisdom and prophecy, in each person.
And once that happens, the test is over.
There'll be other tests, but it's never again about you. It's about you helping somebody else.
But I'm talking about the test of even going off the mercy seat isn't even an issue anymore.
No, because you've seen that. There's no more need. It's like, you know, there may come a time, who knows? I mean, there's no way of predicting whether or not there's another test, because there may be a test that we haven't even imagined. So you can't say there's never another test. You're never going to improve. You're just going to be. Instead of trying to be. Instead of being with a governor.
But even asking about the future, you know, you're trying to get away from now if you're asking about how you're going to turn it up.
If not just me, anyway, I mean, is it even possible?
Well, it's not, that's
it's
sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just deal with it now. You don't have to, don't think it has nothing to do. My bad, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for what you're going to do. Take no thought for anything.
It's always in the now.
It's always, now is the only accepted time. Amen?
No, I don't like that answer.
Well, it goes back to the judging good and evil. To you, what you're going through is evil, and you want to get past it so you can be in the good. But what you're going through actually is good for others, as long as it's given. It might not feel good to you, but... You're not here for you. You're here for everyone else.
Right. It just sucks when you're in these tests and you know what you know.
All right.
It pisses you off even more. I'm not done talking.
Like one dialogue and
one dialogue.
Okay.
One
Okay, verse 11. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. No effort. Yeah, and I want it now. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I just wanted you to see the universality. It's wherever your ground, wherever your foot touches is holy ground, because of who's in you. There's no one thing more holy than anything else. That's heresy. There's no sacred places or sacred buildings or sacred people. We're all the same. Amen? What? Amen? Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I have one question. What is the all things really give us all things?
Everything.
Like my twisted way of thinking is that like cars and houses and yachts and boats.
No, that's thinking. Remember, the promise of God is he'll give you the desire of your heart. Your idolatry transforms that desire into wants. The thing you want isn't all those things. The thing you want is the desire of your heart. Vish? Well, as my mind didn't like any of this crap.
Yes, I know.
Totally destroyed all my ideas and plans and my objective to take over the world.
Yeah, I didn't think any of that really, but I'm just trying to get through day to day, that's all.
Yeah, it's always about God's will. And the man will turn it as quick as he can. Oh, good, God wants to give me something. And suddenly you inject yourself into the scriptures, and then it's totally polluted and doesn't mean anything.
Well, what happens, though, again, the difference between what you really want is peace of mind and the desire of your heart to be fulfilled. That's the promise. No matter what the situation is. I can promise you that that's the truth, because I've experienced it 100,000 times.
And what is the desire of our heart?
Well,
that's none of our business.
No, I mean the desire of your heart is, it has to do with a lot of different things. It has to do with a sense of purpose. It has to do with a reason. Really, the first questions that people ask.
Like,
Why am I here? Yes. What am I doing here?
What's the point?
What's the point?
Okay.
What do I? And really, a biggie is purpose.
Now you're talking. Right. Keep going.
And so these things are then they are all fulfilled in this mystery, and it's complete.
Do you think honesty or people are afraid of fear is a big controlling reason why people aren't honest in their mind? I think a lot of people are so ashamed to see what witness lies in their heart. That's why they
unplug the machine.
One.
Well, the reason there's no vulnerability is because of fear, obviously. And you're afraid that you'll be found out.
And, or you'll perish.
Well, as hunks of protoplasm, as hunks of being, we are only really at the bottom line concerned with life and death. And as a being, we perceive life as sex and death as separation. So that's what we're mostly afraid of. When we are afraid that something we do or say will make us so unacceptable that we will be totally abandoned. And in that fear, that's where sexuality comes in. Then you start. So the whole process of this is to find out that's why the marriage supper of the Lamb, the closest thing that we have. Yeah, you've all heard me tell this story, but when I had the radio show, and I was talking about this, my own conversion experience, and this woman called and said, "Well, what was it like? What did it feel like?" And I said, "Have you ever had an orgasm?" And she blah 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 blah. And I said, well, it's 100,000 times better than that because it's the fulfillment of everything. And that's why sex, in sexuality, that's the only time that 99.99% of the people ever really experience this now, because you're blinded to everything else. It's surprising how many people say, "Oh God, oh God." No, that's a bad thing. Drisana's going to hit me. Does that answer? All right, take a big guy.
I have another question.
Since you didn't walk for it?
Who?
I've been walking.
How are you?